Well, good morning to you all. Glad you're here today. Why are you here? I'll answer the question for you. You are here to study the infallible word of the living God. That's right, David. And that's what we're doing today. We're in Romans chapter 3, verse 27 through 31. How to avoid death. One word, Jesus. Now, when you read this section of scripture, you're going to be saying, how in the world did you get that title out of that? Well, you're going to read about being justified. And remember, we've talked about justification multiple times. Christ's righteousness credited to the believer the moment you believe. You've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and death and brought into God's kingdom of light. And that's what the whole salvation message is. You're saved from death to life. And what I like to say, when a believer passes into their future, you have not died, you have been lifed, and that's what we believe here. Anyway, stand for me with me as we read the Word of God together. We stand by honoring God's Word when we stand, okay? It's very precious to us, folks, very precious. Starting in verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, we hang our lives on the truth of who you are and who your word says you are. May we, as the people of God, live out your truth in this culture that is running, and I mean running, fleeing from the truth, and may a few be rescued and come into the family of God. Lord, we have a voice. May we use our voice for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you know, the theme of Romans is the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Those who are saved will live by faith. It is broken down into six sections: sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so long. We have been in the sin section for several months. And last week, we transitioned into the salvation section. So 321 through 521 will be all about salvation. Over and over, you're going to hear about justification. Over and over, you're going to hear about redemption. Over and over, you're going to hear what Jesus did for you. Folks, salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, not of works, lest any should boast. So we have that down to an art. It's not works, works, and more works. It's not wishing and hoping that you're saved. You can know that you're saved. It's not by doing it my way. It is not any other way but the Jesus way. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. We have learned in depth the state of humanity, the depravity of humanity. And folks, that's each one of us. I'm going to show you some slides today from the Olympics, and we're going to look at some depraved people and that sort of thing. But bear in mind, we are all depraved outside of the Lord Jesus. We all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Our condition is this, Romans 3, 10 through 12. We mentioned this several times. There is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody before the eyes of God. There is none who understands. Nobody seeks God until God seeks them. He's always the initiator of salvation. And there is none who does good, no, not one. And remember, that goodness is perfection. Perfection goodness. It isn't that there's not good people. Unsaved people can act and conduct themselves in a very good manner, but it means perfection. We cannot be perfect before a holy God. That's how God judges goodness. It's not how we judge it, it's how he judges it. And the only way we can be perfect is by Christ's perfection credited to us. And we know that word is justification. That's right. Okay, we have that down. All humanity needs a Savior. All humanity needs a sin bearer. All humanity needs a justifier. Oh, we get these words, a reconciler. All humanity, I remember last week talked about we need a hero. We need Jesus, our hero. And remember, Jesus is the one that took the bullet for you. He took the bullet for me. He died so that I might live. That's our hero. That's our Jesus. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. That's why he did it. John 3:16 is so pertinent. For God, the giving God, so loved the world that he gave, the giving God gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whoever is pas, P-A-S in the Greek, and it means every and all are savable if they just come to the Savior. Jesus is our hero, folks. It doesn't stop in verse 16. You know what it says in verse 17? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He came to seek and to save the lost. It doesn't stop there. It's in verse 18. He says these words, he who believes in the Son is not condemned. He who does not believe in the Son is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We have learned that Jesus justified us, redeemed us, reconciled us, and he was a propitiation for us. Now, this is going to be a test. In your seats, get ready. Do you know the answer to these next four questions? Number one, when I say justified, you immediately, you don't have to answer this out loud, okay? All kinds of, just in your own mind. When I say justified, you think Jesus' righteousness credited to me. The instant that I believe. Did you pass that? Anybody get that? Or just, you don't have to raise your hand, but raise your thumb, okay? Yeah, I got that one. Redeemed. You've been redeemed. That means paid the ransom price. Purchased out of the slave market of sin. When I say reconciled, warring parties have been brought back together. Jesus is the only one that can reconcile humanity with God. His sacrifice for us. And when I say this next one, you're going to get a big A if you get this one. Propitiation. I made a big emphasis on this. A few of you will get this. It is Jesus' sacrifice was acceptable to God, pacifying the wrath of God that is on all of humanity that reject God's rescue. That's his son. So, remember this. You were born for a purpose. You were born to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You were born to be a worshiper of God. See, humans will worship something. Mankind are worshipers, and they will worship something. Most of the time, you just worship yourself. And then these gods or idols that you make up. But we are born worshipers, and we're born to worship and serve God, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to obey Him. Yes, that's why we study the Word. We want to obey our Lord. Why? Because we love Him. We love Him. We want to obey Him. And remember our condition. Every human born into this world are born separated from God, dead in their trespasses and sin. We all need God. Look, when we sin, we are acting independent of God, and every temptation that comes your way is an inducement for you to act independent of God, to go your own way. God has promised you eternal life. And not just a little life, but abundant life. Remember, when you believe in the Son, Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That is overflowing. We know that's eternal. We'll have an amazing, abundant life there. But that also applies to here. I can live above the morass of this society. Did you know this? Did you know this? That you can avoid death. You can avoid death. Why do I say that? Well, John 11:25 and 26, the slide will come up. This is Jesus talking to Martha, and they're lamenting the passing of their brother, Lazarus. Why did you delay, Jesus? Well, he's going to do a miracle. That's why he delayed. But he says these words to Martha, and these words to each one of us. This is a resounding truth. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever believes in me will never die. You have been lifed. You will live if you believe in Jesus. The second thing you want to know is that this is the fifth I am statement. Jesus made seven I am statements. These I am statements are saying that he is declaring that he is Jehovah God. He is the God of Exodus chapter 3. He is the great I am. And when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives up his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Oh, you know this one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except by me. And I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the I am. The great I am, God himself, the second person of the Trinity, came to save you from the wrath that is coming. Most people don't process it that way. It's going to be the wrath of God on those who reject Jesus Christ, offer of salvation, his rescue. This week, how to avoid death, one word, Jesus. Jesus. He justifies believers, folks. That's how you avoid death. Verse 27, how do you avoid death? By works, no way. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. It is by faith, by faith. And I want to repeat this again. Scripture is very, very clear. Every person, every human, every baby born into this world is born dead in their trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We are all lawbreakers. So I'm going to define death for you. What is death? Scripture never speaks of death as non-existence. It always speaks of separation, not non-existent. We are all born dead in our trespasses and sins. We are all lawbreakers, separated from God. It's the reason that a person needs to be, we hear it all the time in Christianity, born again. Oh, you Christians, what is this born again thing? Hey, we need to have our spirits given life. When you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you, gives you the ability to commune with the Holy God, born again of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus that in 3:7, you must be born again. Now, so many people boast about their works. How good of a person I am. Certainly God is going to weigh the good and the evil, and he's going to allow me into his kingdom. Oh, I know that's how it works, and no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So many people are good about talking about themselves. And I want to suggest to you that we all have a pride issue to some extent. We're all trying to stand out in some way, some shape, some form. And I don't know if you've better been with men. Well, you've been with men. It's a holiday. And you're going to the house and the women, traditionally, they're up here talking, and we're over here talking. And what are we talking about? The same thing every year, how great we were in the 12th grade. How absolutely terrific. Did you see that pass I caught? Did you see that? I ran that. Did you catch me run that? Oh, that was great. And it's always more than what it really was. I mean, we're always greater than we were. Something common to humanity, folks, is extolling humanity. The creature rather than the creator is what we call humanism, secular humanism in particular. You know what that belief is? That humans are the top of the chain and don't need God. We're the top of the pyramid. We are our own God. I am great. Watch me roar and watch me swagger through life. I have two slides here. What is a secular humanist? It's going to talk about worldview, and you're very, very familiar with worldview. We've mentioned this many times. A worldview is the framework, is the lens in which you view your world. It's really that simple. Everybody has a worldview. A personal worldview is a combination of all you believe in to be true. The inputs that you get, the teaching that you get, the way that you process life, The things you listen to impact your worldview. That's why young people, when they go off to college, so many are led off the right track. And they embrace things that are contrary to God. They get a contrary worldview. And the statistics are appalling. 80% of churched kids went on mission trips, professions of faith. They go to college, they adopt a different worldview, and they fall away from their faith, and the vast majority don't come back. They've been totally indoctrinated to something false. This happens all the time. Your worldview is going to affect many areas on the slide. Philosophy, science, theology, anthropology is the study of man. Economics, law, politics, art, social order, everything. And I want to suggest to you, and we've talked about this many times, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, where God has placed you in any of those venues, folks, you are to make an impact. You are believers. You have the word of truth. We are to make an impact in every place that we go. Not to be silenced. See, what the culture wants you to do is be silent. Don't speak about your Jesus. You can mention generic God, but don't speak about your Jesus. Now, what does a worldview look like? It's the next slide. Religion, belief in God, belief in the spiritual, is viewed to be harmful by secular humanists. Individual freedom, and therefore aggressively opposed. How about morals? Morals are based on human experience and needs, not on revelation from God. See, we establish our own morals. We're the top of the pyramid. We decide what is right and wrong. That's what Hitler did when he killed 6 million. That's what Mao did when he killed up to 100 million. That's what Stalin did in the same thing with communism taking over, killing up to 100 million people. How about this one? All forms of sexual expression between consenting adults are acceptable. Doesn't that sound like humanism? That sound like me in the 12th grade. I mean, I believe in all the sex that you want to have. Just go have it, whatever you want. It's just fun. It's enjoyable. No, God says you shall not commit sexual immorality. When you come into the family of God, folks, your values, your morals change because God has impacted you. How about abortion for any cause and euthanasia are acceptable? Self-realization, or at least call it self-actualization, is the highest of the human goal of the human. That's you becoming who you really were meant to be. And it's all hogwash, folks. Boasting permeates our society with the exclusion of God. We have all of these false gods that have come in, impacting our culture like never before. Masses of people today are deceived, and masses of people now adopted the concept that I am my own God. I am in charge of my life, and I will do what I want. C.S. Lewis said this in Mere Christianity. Many people admit they had a temper problem, a lust problem, an alcohol problem, but he never met a non-Christian who ever said, I have a pride problem. See, pride is something that is innate to each one of us. Pride. Pride. The problem with pride, it puts you up and God down. Pride. The law of works. What he's talking about. The law of works promotes boasting, plain and simple. Think about this. When we boast, and it's easy to do. You can do it secret, you can do it undercover, and you can do it all different kind of ways. But when you boast, you're trying to be put out front. We are walking in concert with the greatest boaster of all. You know him. His name is Satan. The evil, the adversary. Isaiah 14, 13 and 14 says exactly what he did. Sounds like a lot of humans. For you said in your heart, that's where it all starts, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, above all the other angels in your creation. I am the greatest. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And he makes this crescendo statement. I will be like the Most High. And God says, oh, really? And you know what Satan got? Drop kicked out of heaven. Boom, out. The great I, boasting in pride. And I'll tell you, at the fall, we all caught the I disease. The law of works? No way. The law of faith? All the way. There is no place for boasting when you realize who God is and what God alone has done. He's done it all, folks. He's done it all. God gave his only begotten Son. The God-man Jesus came and died on a tree. He was brutally beaten, spat upon, stabbed, slapped, hung naked on the cross before his family, before the world, before his mother. Most embarrassing, awful thing that could happen to him. Middletown Bible Church says this: the law of work says, work and you shall live. But you have to be perfect. And no human can be perfect. The law of faith says, believe and you shall live. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's just that simple. How to avoid death? We are justified by faith and not the law. That's verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, immediately think declared righteous, by faith, given life by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Apart from the deeds of the law. Now, we've established, folks, many times that we're all lawbreakers, none righteous, nobody seeks God. Over and over we said this. God goes, now the reason I'm mentioning this is because God goes through great pains to tell us our doomed condition. So nobody can think about, it doesn't apply to me. It does apply to each one of us. And that God also goes through great pains to tell you how to be rescued from the doomed condition. The Bible does not stutter. It's not debatable. There is one way, and that is through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Plain and simple, salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Does everybody have that? By faith alone in Christ alone. Now you're going to have a chance to participate here. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Hey, thank you. That's good. Good job. Good job. Any belief system that varies from that is false. You know what that means? Every world religion and every cult do not believe this. Most everybody else is working their way to God. In Christianity, Christ has done the work. In our place. The world disdains the exclusivity of Christ. They can't stand the name of Jesus. You can use a generic God all you want, but you cannot just use the word Jesus. It makes people upset. The exclusivity. Jesus said he was the only way. And by the way, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost who don't want him. That was each one of us, folks. None of us wanted him at the beginning. It's something he did in us. We opposed him. We hated him. We disdained him. Yet he came and he saved us. He shed his blood for us. That's an amazing thing to me. Amazing. False gods, folks, today have been welcomed into our country. The doors are open. Remember Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the Gods? Well, that is happening for real in this country. These are demonic entities that are just welcomed in, and you can see it in our culture today with the moral values have just plummeted into the absolute basement. I don't know how low, much lower it can get. False gods are mounting their last stand today in our world today. And again, Jonathan Cahn wrote the book, deceiving spirits are permeating every area of our culture. Every one of those things that I talked about, arts, education, religion, your work, everything, deceiving spirits are just pouring in there. You are not encouraged to speak about your Lord where you work anymore. You have to be silenced. You have to be silenced. It's a reason for the madness, folks. The madness. We are to stand in every area of culture as the restrainer. Now, you know who the restrainer is. It's the Holy Spirit-filled church. Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 in that area talks about the restrainer. It's the Holy Spirit-filled church. That's us. We have a voice. And by the God's strength and power, I will not be silenced. I cannot be silenced. I have a message from our Lord that he has commanded me to give to the culture around me. And you are to give it wherever God has placed you. Remember, you are an ambassador. You are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Better when you realize that changes the way you act. It changes how you act in your family, how you deal with husband and wife relationships, how you treat your kids, how you treat your workmates, how you treat the dude on the road that just cut in front of you. It impacts everything, folks. Everything. I am Christ's ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. You know what the message is? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be brought back into relationship with God. We implore you to be brought back in a right relationship. Deceiving spirits. You've seen this slide before. Similar one. This is a New Living Translation. It says this. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, clearly, that in the last times, some will depart from the, oh, watch this, true faith. From the true faith. See, there's all kinds of false faith. You're seeing all kinds of churches capitulating to our world today and not walking in the truth of God's word, twisting and turning and trying to make it match what they want to believe. Folks, that is wrong. That is wrong. From the true faith, they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from where? Demons. Demons. These are real. These people are hypocrites, liars, and their conscience are dead or seared. Seared. I have a question for you, and I think you can get everybody should get an A on this question. Okay, get ready for the A. Who's in charge of this world system? Satan. Satan is in charge. Satan is in charge. He's called the God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Jesus, at least two times, called him the ruler of this world in the book of John. He has his tentacles into this world system. All these things that you are seeing just represent him. Just represent him. This evil that you see is representing him. Our anti-God world is running away from the only one who can save them. And now listen to this. This is what you hear today. You hear a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming. If you're talking about women's reproductive rights, which I believe you can have all the reproductive rights you want, but what they mean is kill the babies, okay? So we can't go along with that. We cannot go along with that. That is murder. That is homicide. That is against the word of the living God. So though the majority scream for their way, and I mean scream, screaming does not change the truth. It does not change the truth, okay? Screaming, bullying, intimidation have their root in Satan. They do. They have their root in his world system in Satan. For the first time in the history of modern Olympics, the world screams, "We do not want you, God." There was a surfer from Brazil that had a picture of Jesus on his, what his concept of Jesus was, on his surfboard. And the Olympics says, you cannot use that because it is religious. They don't want God at the Olympics. However, they would take the pantheon of gods and extol them at the opening of the Olympics. Those demonic Greek-Roman gods that they said was art. We don't want your son. You know, extolling that whole opening ceremony was extolling the homosexual, transgender communities. But it's not just that. It's welcoming and embracing this whole world system change that we're seeing today. This open borders. Folks, this assault on the borders is to make America weaker so we can blend and be like the rest of the world. We're heading towards, and you know this, you hear it over and over, a one world government, a one world religion. We're on the precipice of this, a one world monetary system. That's coming. That's coming. That's inevitable. It's being thrown right at you. It's in your face. Folks, this is humanism. Humanism. Humanism and more humanism. It's in your living room. Now it's in your sports. Now it's in the Olympics. Extolled and celebrated. Paganism has become the norm. It has become the norm. And people see this and they go, oh, isn't that arty? It's so artful. It's so beautiful. It's so that is hogwash. That is pagan disgust that you saw. And I have a slide here of this awful looking situation. But think about something. Please think about this. Now we look at this and when this happened to me, it ruined my Olympics. And I was really ticked off because I wanted to watch the Olympics, but I'm thinking, I'm not watching this. An Olympic committee that embraces this, I'm not going to watch it. I can't give it. I want to sneak and watch it. I want to sneak and watch the boxing and see if somebody, some girl knocks this ban out that is boxing and beating up all the ladies. It's crazy what's going on. Crazy. But I want you to think about this. Think about, we look at this and we say the depravity of man. But I want you to think about all of us, folks. All of us are in the depraved boat. All of us need a Savior. Jesus, our justifier, our life giver, died for all. God still saves people and can be rescued from the darkness, just like I was rescued from the darkness. Their depravity is awful. We look at this and it's awful. But my depravity before a holy God is also awful. Also awful. So what are we to do? Well, you got to get past that initial emotion of the moment, that anger that just, you know, bursts forth in you. And I came up with these things. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Pray for them. Actually, I got this from Israel News or something. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Rather than being consumed with rage as the Spirit moves in your sphere of influence, speak the truth. Speak the truth and love. We're to love people, folks. If we come at them with guns blazing, you sinner, you're going to hell, that's not going to get you anyplace. You have to tell them about the love of Jesus. He loved you so much he came. He saved us. We're all the same. We're all the same. Your depravity is no worse. We are separated from God. We are depraved people, and we need the Savior. And then number three, expose the spirit behind these horrific events. Folks, this is demonic to the core. And then pray that prisoners of Satan will be set free by trusting in Christ. Folks, Jesus came to die for us. He died so that we could live. And all you have to do is recognize and say, I place my trust in you, Jesus. Please save me. Save me. You know who lived in an awful pantheistic society? Paul did. He lived in a Greek society. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about a Greek society. On Mars Hill in Acts 17, he was talking to the Epic and Stoic philosophers, debating. And they had made a statue to the unknown God. And he introduced them to the unknown God. When Corinth, you had Zeus, Apollo, Artemis, Paris, Aphrodite, all worshipped. The culture was immersed in this stuff. And then Paul says in the midst of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, he says this to a Greek culture, to a basic majority Gentile church, that you practice the following things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's telling them straight up, fornicators. Now that's the King James, that's sexual immoral. Any sexual act outside the marriage covenant is prohibited by God. If you practice that, that's your habitual, given over to a way of life, you are jeopardizing your eternal future. It's not just that. Idolaters. The whole thing was idolatry. Apollos, Artemis, Hera, Aphrodite, Zeus. They were all idols. Homosexuals, sodomites, we always hammer on them. They're just part of the picture, folks. That's just another sin, like all the sins that we have. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Then those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then thank the Lord for verse 11. Such were some of you. And I just go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You came to save us. Thank you, Lord. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, declared righteous by the Holy God because of Jesus' blood applied to your life, your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Those horrendos, those things that we look at on that screen and say, this is terrible, this is awful, Jesus died for them, just like he died for us. Verse 29 and 30, how to avoid death? Folks, it's this simple. Get into the saved boat. Get into the saved boat. All are savable. Verse 29 and 30. Or who is he? Or is he the God of the Jews only? No. Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God, not multiple gods, one God who will justify, declare righteous the circumcised, that's the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, through faith. We all get lifed. We all avoid death by faith in Christ alone. It is just that simple. Don't let anybody tell you anything different than that. There's no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are savable. We are all in the same boat, the sin boat. That is the boat we're all in humanity. We're all in, also all in the savable boat. Now, I think you remember this, but Peter was told to go to the house of Cornelius. And Peter's hedging and going, I can't go there. I don't eat this food. I mean, I'm separated from these Gentile dogs, is what they called them, the Jews did. And he was a Roman centurion, like double dog to the Jews. But he had to go. And when he went, God opened his eyes and he says these words about all of humanity, folks. He's talking about the Gentiles in particular here, so that's us, majority. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God is not a face looker. You know what that tells me? That he doesn't say, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. He says, all can be saved. He shows no partiality with humanity, whether to sin, we're all in the sin boat, but we can also all be saved. All be saved. Whether referring to sin or salvation, folks, we're talking about all of us can get out of the sin boat and get into the salvation boat. Believe and be saved, or don't believe and be lost. Now, I want to take you on a quick journey to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. Now, many times people will use this verse to claim that it's okay to leadership, female leadership, that sort of thing. This is not what this is talking about. Okay? Listen to what it says. Verse 26. For you, talking to the Galatian believers, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Subject, salvation. Nothing to do with leadership. Salvation. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, that's immersed into Christ, that's spirit baptism at the time of salvation. It's not water baptism. Have put on Christ. And then he says the condition. Who is this salvation for? There's neither Jew nor Greek. We're all the same. There is neither slave nor free. We're all the same. There is neither male nor female. We're all the same. One in Christ. We are all savable. That's the subject here. Salvation has nothing to do with leadership. That is an important distinction. And because of that, by all means, since Jesus died for us, believe and be saved. Get into the saved boat, the Jesus boat. It's got a big, great big name on it. It's called Jesus on the side of the boat. That's the one you jump onto. The world boat also have a big little sticker on it saying, jump into me. You don't get into that boat. You're already actually in that boat. You got to jump out of that boat, get into the water, and swim to the saved boat. That's what you want to do. Anyway, verse 31. How do we avoid death? Faith. 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 Faith does not abolish the law, however. Verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Paul says resoundingly, certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? The Greek word for nullify is to make of no account, purposeless. This is the argument. This is the argument. Paul was preaching a pure grace through faith gospel, and some would reason that there was no purpose for the law at all. Okay, hear this. Stick with me. Truth. Now listen to this. A life of faith gospel establishes the law. The law was given to show us that we could not keep it. We cannot keep the law. We are pitifully depraved. The law was given to show us that we could never measure up to the holiness of God. As a matter of fact, the law was given for a specific reason, to be your instructor to lead you to the Savior. Galatians 3:24, therefore the law has become our tutor, our instructor, to lead us to Christ that we may be justified. I say justified, you say declared righteous. Let's try that again. I say justified, and you say declared righteous. Never forget that word. Indelibly put it into your brain. That's why you will not die. You've been justified, declared righteous by our God. The law of God proves we are guilty, establishes that we're all sinners. The law actually proves this. Salvation must be by faith. Faith alone. Never forget, the law is perfect. We are not. The law cannot save. It can only condemn. This is the truth. I was born a lawbreaker. So were you. All of us. I am still a lawbreaker. Any of you perfect out there? If you think you're perfect, well, you can watch the Olympics. You can, and you know you're not perfect. But just drive down 94. Hit the one lane, and when it says left lane closed, merge, and you have these people, vroom, 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 ding, 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 ding. I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. You feel the same way. That's the truth. I was born a lawbreaker. I'm still a lawbreaker, but thank God for Jesus. That's all I can say. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' perfection is credited to me by faith alone. God now views me as perfect. Isn't that incredible? I mean, look, you're perfect. Don't ask your wife or your husband, but you are perfect, yeah, in the eyes of God because of Jesus. Look, we are no longer law-breaking sinners, but a child of God. I'm in the family of God. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm a friend of Jesus. I mean, I can't be anything greater than that. A friend of Jesus. Now, how do we avoid death? Justification. Justified, declared righteous. That's how we do it. Yes. We're all born in this world with a death curse. And I have a slide here. Death and its significance. It will come. Death will come, not as an executioner for the believer, this is for the believer, but as an usherer. And actually, for the believer or unbeliever, it will usher you into the kingdom of light, heaven, or it will usher you into hell. Depends on what you've done with Jesus. This refers to Jesus here. It will come, not as an end to life, but as an entry into eternity. Then we will see Jesus. Oh man, what a day. And we will weep at his scarred feet until he lifts us up. Can you imagine, just holds you, and dries out our tears. Then death and dying, sin and sinning, tears and crying, can you imagine, will be no more. No more disease, no more death, no more chaos, no more discomforts of life. And we will shout for joy, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I will be before my King one day. And I don't know about you, but I'm just looking forward to that. I'm not wanting to jump in front of a bus or anything, but I am looking forward to that day when God calls me home and I am before him. What a day that will be. So who saved us from death? Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to give you a bunch of facts here. Number one, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fact. We sin because we're sinners and we love our sin. We can't help but to sin. That's our depraved state. Fact, in our fallen condition, we love it. Fact, though sin is fun, and it is, it feels good, it ultimately brings misery. This is the truth. Misery, chaos, death, always. Always. I don't care how much fun you think you're having, it will bring a mess into your life. Fact, Jesus entered this sin, misery, chaos, death world to save us from death. Now, I have a couple slides here that I want you to notice. Number one, Jesus entered this stuff to save us. The facts of salvation. Those who are saved, that would be us, folks, are not of this world. No conformity to this world. We do not identify with this world. We are radically separated from this world. You know, the world looks at us as weird. We are weird, weird, weird. If someone calls you weird, jump up and down and say, thank you. Thank you. I'm different. I'm different than this mess, and you've noticed it. John 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world. That is us, folks, any more than I am of the world. We are not of this world. We are aliens and strangers. We are passing through. Don't put your roots down here. This is going to end. We're passing through. Jesus came to save us, folks, and we're looked at as weird. Now, I want you to think about this. When you think, and you heard this in the politics lately, the Democrats had this thing about, and they all went for weird. Gosh, he's weird. Gosh, Trump's weird. Gosh, Vance is weird. And all the commentators, weird, 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 like they sent out the memo, weird. Well, folks, they can just say that to us. We're weird, okay? And they look at us as weird because we get together and we actually pray and worship God. We glorify his name. We stand on the word, standing on the promises of Christ, my King. I can keep going if you want, but anyway, through eternal ages. But and we stand on the word of God. We believe that people get baptized, not for salvation, but to identify with Christ. We actually go to church. Why do you go to church? It's weird to the world you go to church. You could be drinking coffee. You could be putting. You could be putting right now. Why are you going to church? You could be fishing. You know, you could be doing all that stuff. You go to church because we're gathered together as like-minded believers, encouraging one another, loving each other, loving the Lord Jesus Christ who purchased us out of the slave market of sin. We come here to be boosted up and be encouraged to make it through the rest of the week, folks. We come and we are blessed. We pray. We believe that God answers prayer. Folks, we're weird to the world, and that is A-okay with me. A-okay. Yeah, Jesus came to give us life, abundant life, and finally, the last fact, Jesus came so we will never see death. All who believe in him do not die. They are lifed. And if I do your funeral, or you come to my funeral, and whoever does my funeral, there'll be somebody in here. Rick has been lifed. Lifed. This, I am not dead. I am not separated from God. I am in the presence of Almighty God. You have been lifed. We're sad here with the passing of a believer, but they couldn't be more ecstatic. They could not be more ecstatic. You've been lifed. Never separated from God. With him forever, the Creator. Being with him, the one that has all this plan for us. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all because of him. Always amazed at God, blown away by God, immersed in the love of God. What an amazing thing to look forward to. For all who want to avoid death, it is so easy. It is so easy. For all who want to avoid death, separation from God, hell forever, turn to Jesus. That's all you have to believe in him. Place your trust in him. If you don't, you'll spend eternity separated from him in an awful place. It doesn't matter what the secular humanists say. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what the world says. No hell. Everybody goes to heaven. That's a famous thing. Sin is not that big a deal. Jesus tells us the truth. And Jesus always tells the truth. He is the only way. He is our only rescuer. He is our only hope. Jesus, Jesus. Our world today, the lying demonic hordes, their leader Satan, promising you a world of fun will bring you chaos and death. Jesus said this. Jesus is a life giver. Satan is a life taker, a murderer and a liar per Jesus. John 8:44 says it perfectly. I love it in the NIV. talking to the Pharisees, but by extension, everyone who has rejected the offer of salvation. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Remember that anytime you're tempted to lie, you're walking in concert with the evil one. For all who are trapped in the chaos and death of this life, there is a rescue. Cry out to Jesus, our Savior, our only hope. How to avoid death? One word, Jesus. Let's do this together. I'm going to say it. How to avoid death? One word, Jesus. It is that simple. He is our Savior. The cry of all in the family of God, I just want to speak the name of Jesus to this world around me. I just want to speak. I am not ashamed of Jesus. I hope you're not. Let's say that together. I am not ashamed of Jesus. I will represent him in this culture. As the Spirit of God gives me the oomph to do it, I'm not going to be inappropriate. Okay, as the Spirit moves me, I want to tell you about Jesus. And by the way, he is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our way maker. And by the way, every knee will one day bow before him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Father, right now I pray that if someone does not know you as their Savior, they will jump out of the world boat, jump out of the self boat, and swim to the saved boat. Lord, may they reach out to Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, I know that you are the initiator. I know that no one can do this unless you're drawing them. I know that no one can do this unless the Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I know that no one will do this. And like Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. It's a whole work of God. But that is going on now in the hearts and minds of people. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. This is your moment. Turn to Christ and be saved. And you will live with him forever and enjoy life with him. Thank you for this time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you, Lord. Amen.